Let's turn to John chapter 8 again tonight, and we're going to continue on from where we were this morning, talking about indications that we know the Father. We're going to go through and review the ones we talked about this morning and then go on to from there. I want to read verse 19 of John chapter 8 as we begin this evening. Jesus is talking to the Jews, and he had just dealt with the situation of the woman taken in adultery. They brought her to him. He goes back to teaching the Jews. He says in verse 19, Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So I want us to look at tonight some more indications that we know the Father. And we talked this morning about how that the way that we can know the Father is by seeing who Christ is. The way that we can show people we know the Father is by showing them Christ in our lives. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we will go and look at these things tonight. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be together tonight to study your word. And Father, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of knowing you. And as we study your word, as your Holy Spirit teaches us, we thank you for the knowledge of God that we have. We thank you that we can grow in that knowledge. We can grow in wisdom. We can grow in the grace of God, in the love of God, and all those things we can grow. And we thank you for giving us that privilege. Father, I pray you would encourage our hearts tonight with these things and challenge us that we might be a brighter light to those around us. We thank you for what you will teach us, and I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that we talked about this morning, how we show people who our Father is, how we show people that we know the Father is by righteous judgment. We looked at verses 15 and 16, and how that Christ, when he said he was, if he came to judge, he would judge what was right. And how do we know that we judge right? Because we judge according to God's principles. We looked at Proverbs. We talked about how Proverbs talks about the fool and the wise. And the fool judges according to his own understanding, his own knowledge. But the wise man will judge according to God's principles, according to God's knowledge and the understanding that his word gives. The second thing that we said was an indication that we know the Father is our witness, a witness that we show people, that we tell people that we are a Christian, but also the witness in our own spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us, that we are children of God. Another indication is speaking the truth. When Jesus came, he said, I will always speak the truth because what I speak is of the Father. And so that needs to be an indication in our lives as well that we know the Father, we speak the truth. We looked at Acts chapter 7. Now Stephen stood before the priest, the religious council, and he proclaimed the truth. He said, this is what you guys have done. You have crucified the Christ. And they didn't like that. They took him out and stoned him. When Jesus came and he taught the truth, he spoke the truth, the religious group didn't like that. And so they were intent on putting him to death. And eventually they crucified him. But that was all part of God's plan. And it indicated the truth of God, the truth that Christ was teaching, that man is a sinner and he needed Christ. Another indication is Christ's likeness. We looked at verse 28. And how that when Christ is lifted up, they would know the truth. They would know that he is the Messiah. They would know that he is the one sent by his Father. And the way that we can lift up Christ is by being conformed to the image of Christ and by having our lives reflect who Christ is. And we can live that life before others. Then the fifth thing we looked at this morning about indicating that we know the Father is continuing in the Word. And we looked at John chapter 15 where it says, abide in him, and how that when we abide in him, it indicates that we are continuing in his word, that we are know the Father, that we are wanting to learn more of the Father. And so we abide in him, and we follow his word, and live our lives according to his principles. So let's continue on tonight and look at more of these indications that we know the Father. And we find in verse 42, another indication is our love for Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 42, it says, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. What kind of love is that? It's a love that loves the things that God loves. It's a love that desires to know more. It's a love for God himself. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees here, he says, if God were your father, you would love Christ. You would love me because God would be your father. But it wasn't true. God wasn't their father. Why would it be true that if they knew God, or if they loved God, they would love Christ? Because Christ is the perfect example of love. Christ is the fulfillment, or if you will, the demonstration of God's love. Where do we learn that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave Jesus Christ as a manifestation of his love. If they really understood and believed that Jesus Christ was come to save sinful men from destruction, they would love him. But they didn't believe that. They didn't accept that Jesus Christ came to save them. They thought Jesus Christ came to conquer. And he did come to conquer. What did he conquer? He conquered sin. He conquered death through his death and resurrection. But it wasn't the way they were wanting him to come. Let me give this illustration for you. If your house caught fire in the middle of the night and it was engulfed in so much flames that you couldn't do anything but get out of your house, and you knew that your child was in that house, and as you stood out on the front lawn of that house and you watched your house burn and there was nothing you could do, And you watch the house burn, and as you look over to the side, you see a fireman come out a window carrying your child. He brings your child to you, and he puts that child in your arms, safely in your arms. The child is just fine. What would be your response to that fireman? Oh, thanks. Probably not. You would love that fireman for the rest of your life. Why? Because he saved a part of you from destruction. He saved your child from destruction. See, Jesus Christ came to save us from eternal destruction. And the only right response to that is love, to love him and accept his gift of salvation. That love should then continue to flow out of us as we live our lives in gratitude for what he has done for us. You see, we don't come to church because, well, that's what we've always done. We don't read our Bibles because, well, that's what my mom and dad told me I should do. We don't give to the Lord's work because, well, it's expected of me. We do those things because of our love for God. It should be our motive. Our love for God should be the reason that we do those things. Another evidence that we know the Father is our love for Christ and our love to serve him, our love to show gratitude for what he's done for us. And we show that love towards others, and that's a way that we show our love for Christ. Another indication of that, the fact that we know the Father, is heavenly citizenship. Verse 42 again, it says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why could the Pharisees not understand what Christ was saying? Look at verses 43 and 44. He says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. And he goes on and says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why couldn't they understand what Christ was saying? Because they were from two different countries, two different origins. See, Christ was from heaven. He came down from heaven. He was sent from the Father. But man was born in sin and death in a fallen world. And we are sinful men. We are sinful creatures. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham's life took a completely different direction when he left his old life and followed God's plan for his life. He followed God's way for his life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, there was a change in Abraham's life. The Pharisees couldn't grasp what Christ was saying because they were from two different origins. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able to say, even to subdue the all things unto himself." You see, we are not of this world. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have a new life. We are a new creation. We have a new citizenship. Pharisees couldn't grasp that. They couldn't grasp what Christ was saying because they didn't understand his language, if you will. They didn't have that spiritual understanding. And the world may not understand us, but when we don't pursue the things the world considers valuable, when we don't make heroes of the ungodly, when we live our lives for eternal fruit rather than temporal fruit, we will show that we are of our Father in heaven. We will show that we know the Father because we have a heavenly citizenship. Jesus says, "I am not of this world." He had a heavenly citizenship. Another indication of the fact that we know the Father is our spiritual hearing or our spiritual reception. Look at verse 47. It says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Again, it goes back to the citizenship, but he says there's got to be that understanding that God gives. There has to be that spiritual understanding. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." See, if we are reading God's word and the Holy Spirit is teaching us, it's an indication that we are his children. We know the Father. Because we are hearing his words, we are hearing his voice, is hearing him speaking to us through his word. Jesus indicated that he knew the Father and was sent by the Father by the fact that he was in constant communication with him. You see that throughout Jesus' ministry. Many times he would go aside away from other people. Why? So he could communicate with his Father. That was an indication that he knew the Father, that he had that right relationship with the Father. He was always in tune to the Father's voice. And even when he was in the garden agonizing, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but if not, thy will be done." He was always in constant communication with his Father. He always knew what his Father wanted him to do. He had that spiritual reception to the Father. As we read God's word, are we listening to the things the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us? The hearing goes beyond the ears. When a parent tells a child something, what is an indication that the child heard the parents? Obedience. If my parent, if my dad would say, "I want you to go mow the lawn," and I sit there and continue what I'm doing, have I really heard him? I acknowledge that he was speaking, maybe, but I didn't really follow what he wanted me to do. Until I get up off of my seat and go out and mow the lawn, then I'm demonstrating that I've heard my dad. And the way that we indicate that we know the Father is by our spiritual reception of his truth and by obedience to what he's told us to do. So the best way for us to show that we are listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit is through obedience. The ninth thing we see as an indication that we know the Father is the knowledge of God. Look at verses 54 and 55. The knowledge of God. Jesus says, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings." How do we get to know God? By spending time with him, by spending time in his word, by reading his word, by understanding who he is. You know that we can know God by every chapter in this book. We can see something about God in every part of his word. And so we can grow in that knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So what effect does growing in knowledge or knowing God have on our lives? I was taking this music module a few weeks ago, and the teacher shared this passage with me that's changed his life, changed the way he does things. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." You see, this is how knowledge affects our lives. Knowledge affects our judgment. When we grow in our knowledge of God and we really understand who God is, it affects our judgment, our discernment. And as it affects our judgment and discernment, we say, I need to choose what is excellent, because God is a God of order. God is a God of excellence. And so we choose what is excellent, and we stand before God sincere. And the Bible tells us we will bear the fruits of righteousness. And what are those fruits? They're the fruits that Christ produces in our lives. As we choose the things that God would choose, as we choose the things that are excellent, we would produce that fruits of righteousness. And what is the ultimate result of that? God is glorified. And so the result of knowing God, the effect in our lives, is that God is glorified. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So knowing God helps us to know his will and to exercise wisdom. It also affects our walk. There's a difference in the confidence of a man who knows what he's doing, knows where he's going, and he knows the goals to get there. You see a man who knows the direction that God wants for his life, and there's a confidence there. But you see someone who's floundering, you see someone who's just kind of trying to figure it out on their own, and they're just like all over the place. But knowing God brings that confidence. Knowing God helps us to know his will for our lives. And a man who knows God is that man who is confident and is growing in his knowledge of God. The last indicator this evening I want to look at of how we know the Father is obedience. We just read verse 55, but look at the last words of that verse. Jesus says, "But I know him and keep his saying." Now, we just talked about obedience just a minute ago. But Jesus indicates in this verse that he not only knows the Father, but he also keeps his sayings. Jesus knew what pleased the Father. And he knew that that was what he needed to do. Back in John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And Jesus knew that he needed to do whatever pleased his Father. He didn't need to live his life, as 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, not living our lives for ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. Christ lived his life for his Father. He lived his life for him that sent him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. You notice in that verse how many indications that we know the Father are there? You see, we love one another as he gave his commandment. It says, "He that keepeth his commandments," that's obedience. "He that dwelleth in him," that's continuing in his word. It's talked about the Spirit which he hath given. That's the witness that we have. Indicates that we know the Father. How do we know what we're supposed to do in this life? How do we know how we're supposed to live? Well, we seek the heart of the Father. We seek to know God's will. We seek to know him more. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so when we know what the Father desires, it will determine the direction he has for us. You know, coming this next month is Valentine's Day, just a couple of weeks away. And it's a good time for us to renew our relationship, if you will, refresh our relationship with our spouses, and to show them we love them, to show them that we really care for them. One way we do that? By spending time with them. And I know we don't always have a lot of time, but take some time over the next few weeks. Take some time to get to know your spouse better, to study them more, to understand them more. And what happens in your relationship when you do that? You grow closer together. Just like when we spend time with God, we spend time in His Word, our relationship grows closer together. And so our obedience to Him comes as we know Him, as we know what He desires. Psalm 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So how do we show people who our spiritual father is? How do we show people that we know the Father? By showing them Christ. How do we do that? Look at John chapter 8, verse 38. Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. How do we show people Christ? By speaking the things that we have been taught, by following the example of Christ. See, how do I know what Christ did? It's right here. God recorded it for us. God laid it out in His Word so that we would know how we're supposed to live. So I encourage you to take these things we've talked about today, and if you need to read through that passage again, and look at ways that we can indicate to others that we know the Father by showing Christ to them. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the things that You teach us. Thank You for Christ's example. Thank You for the things that He taught to those around Him while He ministered here on this earth. Father, I pray that You would just work in each one of our hearts, that we would be a greater demonstration that we know the Father to others. That we would show them Christ in our lives. Father, I pray that You'd help us to be a bright light to those around us as we go through this week. We pray for Your protection. We pray for Your strength. We pray for healing for those who need that healing. Father, I pray that You'd help us to take the opportunities You give us to be an encouragement and a help and a witness to those around us. We thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.